You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. We return now to the Flint water investigations. Now, this is confusing, so bear with us, because there are a lot of cases out there. There are the criminal cases against officials like Nick Lyon, Dr. Eden Wells, and others. We're not going to be talking about those here. We're going to talk about the civil cases. To simplify it, we're going to break down the civil cases into two groups. There are the class action lawsuits filed on behalf of the people of Flint against the state, state officials, Governor Snyder is named in many of them, for instance, as well as two private firms, the French water company Veolia and the Texas-based engineering firm Lockwood Andrews and Newman, LAN. Those companies were also involved in the disastrous switch to the Flint River. Lawyers from the Attorney General's office are defending the state against those class action lawsuits. Private lawyers are defending Veolia and LAN. But in the class action lawsuits, the state and the private companies are essentially on the same side. Then there's a separate lawsuit filed by Noah Hall, who was brought in by former AG Bill Schuette as an independent special prosecutor against Veolia and LAN. That lawsuit seeks to hold these companies accountable for their involvement in the Flint water crisis. But he was let go by Attorney General Dana Nessel last month, and now attorneys from the AG's office are leading that case. The potential problem, the attorneys defending the state for the harm it caused to the people of Flint are also the same attorneys suing these private companies on behalf of the people of Flint. Noah Hall was on Stateside earlier this week saying that he believes this poses a significant problem for Attorney General Dana Nessel.
She believes that the state attorney general's office can essentially wear both hats, represent the people who are affected, as well as the governor and the state agencies and the other folks who are responsible.
Well, the AG is with us now to help sort all of this out. Attorney General Dana Nessel, welcome back to Stateside.
Thanks for having me.
So why did you choose to move on from Noah Hall, who was appointed by your predecessor some 3 years ago, to serve as Special Assistant Attorney General?
Well, something that I was very critical of during the campaign, and it bothered me a lot, was the fact that I saw this very lengthy investigation that, was basically being conducted by a private firm, and that firm had hired some individuals to assist. And after some, $9 million in 3 years, we saw, I believe it was a total of 15 charges or 15 defendants that were charged, half of which were misdemeanors, at a cost of some $9 million or so. And, I was not satisfied that those cases were being handled properly. And I thought it was very important that I have career prosecutors being brought in to handle this. So what I did, and I announced this at a press conference on February 21st, is that, I created, I kept in place this conflict wall. And on the criminal side of the conflict wall, in order to investigate and prosecute criminal wrongdoing, I brought in a number of career prosecutors. My Solicitor General, Fadwa Hamoud, who spent many, many years as a lead attorney at the Wayne County Prosecutor's Office. Kim Worthy agreed to come in with us and to work in concert with our office. And, she's bringing in one of her assistant prosecutors, who's the head of her public integrity unit. And I hired a number of new prosecutors to put on that side of the wall. I hired prosecutors from Oakland County, from Macomb County, from Wayne County, and also from the Prosecuting Attorneys Association of Michigan. And I thought it was very important that you have people that are accountable to this office and, frankly, aren't getting paid by the hour so that we see these outrageous fees that state taxpayers have to pay. And quite candidly, after 3 years, for all the talk that I heard on your program where Mr. Hall talks extensively about fraud being perpetrated specifically in reference to the KWA, I didn't see any charges at all that had been filed in regard to that. And, 3 years is an incredibly long period of time, even for a complicated matter like this. And I thought in order to make certain that these cases were properly investigated, properly charged, properly prosecuted, I needed to have career prosecutors who were dedicated civil servants and who were working on behalf of the people of the state of Michigan. And so that's what I did.
Now, apart from the criminal cases, the case that Noah was involved with was civil, and he wasn't taking any pay.
Well, that was a case that, again, I wanted to ensure that we had people who were directly accountable to this office. And so I am overseeing, obviously, you know, I chose the civil side of the conflict wall, and I am overseeing those cases personally. So I can tell you that absolutely I want to ensure that any companies that contracted with the state to perform services, if they ultimately, through their actions, caused any kind of harm or injury to our state residents or any financial liability to our state, that I'm going to aggressively hold those companies accountable. And, you know, there is no reason to doubt that I will do just that. I am committed to making certain that there is justice in this case, both on the civil side and on the criminal side. And, you know, there is no reason to doubt that that is true in terms of my commitment to ensuring justice.
And certainly what you say you want to see happen in this civil case against Veolia and Land is something that Noah Hall very much wanted to see. And I'm still trying to get clear on why remove him.
Well, firstly, you know, he violated numerous rules of professional conduct. You are not supposed to go, frankly, on the air, you know, onto a media outlet and to talk about an ongoing investigation. And in doing so, quite frankly, it jeopardizes those investigations and it jeopardizes the prosecutions as well. So there are a number of rules of professional conduct that Mr. Hall violated. And in fact, you know, we received a letter from a law firm representing former Governor Snyder that they intend to pursue you know, a grievance against Mr. Hall for that. And the problem is, as Attorney General of the state, all these special assistant attorneys general report to me, and I'm directly liable for anything they do. And you don't see any other assistant AGs out there talking about our cases publicly in the manner that Mr. Hall did. It's totally inappropriate. And if I can sort of give you an example, you know, yesterday I did a press conference in which I announced first-degree murder charges against Floyd Galloway, who, you know, has been charged with the homicide of a Farmington Hills woman. It's a two-year-old case. And if you notice during the course of that, you know, I talked about what we charged. I talked about the fact that, you know, I believed the evidence substantiated such a charge, but I didn't go into the evidence. I didn't go into the facts of the case because that is to be done in a court of law. And it violates the rules of professional ethics for me to in some way taint or prejudice a jury pool. And that's exactly what Mr. Hall was doing when he came on your show. And if he had concerns, certainly he could have contacted me. And it bothered me a lot that he indicated, you know, his reasons for not contacting me, which made no sense to me whatsoever. If he had concerns, he was obligated to bring those to my attention. But he did not. And, you know, I didn't pick a side of the conflict wall until February 21st. So he had ample opportunity to speak to me about that. And even if we were on separate sides of the conflict wall, it's totally appropriate to have conversations with opposing counsel. That's what we do as lawyers. We do that all day, every day. You don't reveal client confidences, but it doesn't mean that you can't have a discussion. And I actually reached out to Mr. Hall following his earlier broadcast in January, and I did not receive a response from him. So I could not allow him to continue to go out into the public sphere and to make comments which would jeopardize an investigation as well as any prosecutions.
Okay, let's talk about this case against Veolia and Land. And I guess the optics. Can an attorney who's been defending the state against civil suits and making arguments to minimize the state's role in what happened, can that attorney then turn around and also argue on behalf of the people of Flint in a different case?
Yeah, I believe they can. And I, you know, I will tell you that we went to great lengths to engage with our ethics officer in order to make certain that we were handling that ethically and appropriately. And again, one of my concerns has been the many, many millions of dollars that our state has been spending to hire private firms and to hire private attorneys that are not accountable to the state the same way that state employees would be.
But again, Noah Hall wasn't being paid, so we should point that out. But what about the optics?
He had been paid. Wait a minute. He had been paid earlier. Okay. So to say that he had never been paid was factually inaccurate and untrue.
Okay. Just what about the optics, with the sense that we are very aware of that severe lack of trust from people in Flint in their government? Why not bring in another outside counsel to handle this case?
Well, because I wanted to be able to be directly overseeing this case, which I am. And I am confident moving forward that we're going to be doing everything we possibly can to hold this company accountable for any kind of responsibility that this company owes to the people of this state. And this has been a commitment of mine. And, you know, the other thing that bothers me a lot, hearing during the course of Mr. Hall's interview, talking about the fact that, you know, somehow I would be a party to, to covering up any wrongful conduct by either former Governor Snyder or the DEQ or any other parties. I mean, I ran for this office so as to hold those parties accountable. And during the course of the 8 years that that he served as governor, I think no one was more public about, you know, about insisting that the appropriate thing for Governor Snyder to do would be to resign than I was. I certainly am not going to be protecting him. I certainly am not going to be protecting any of the actions that this office, the Office of Michigan Attorney General, took prior to me being sworn into office. And it is my interest and, frankly, my passion to ensure that justice is done in this case. And it is the
and
very
now that
reason
you have
that
this,
I ran.
And now you have this case in-house. What's your sense of how you want this case to play out?
Well, I want this company to be held accountable for anything they did that injured people in our state or created financial liability.
And if your office wins either a settlement or a trial, that award is likely to be in the tens, perhaps hundreds of millions of dollars. We heard that actually when your predecessor announced this lawsuit. What will happen to the settlement money from this case?
Well, I mean, technically speaking, it should go into the general fund. But of course, my hope is that that can be utilized to offset any settlements, which, you know, are moving forward at this point. And, I can't speak for the governor and I can't speak for the legislature, but I have been very vocal about saying that the proper disposition of these cases is ultimately to end in a settlement so that the people of the city of Flint are properly compensated.
This particular case, in this case, the client is not the state of Michigan. The suit was filed on behalf of the people of Michigan. So is there a sense of that money needing to go to the people of Flint for harm that they suffered
right.
from what happened to them?
I mean, again, I think that in terms of technically where that money has to go, I believe it does have to go into the general fund. But again, it is my hope that that money can then be utilized in regard to the settlements. That has to be appropriated by the legislature. But, you know, of course, that would be my argument, is that money should be used to indemnify the people that were hurt.
You know, if the money is not specifically set aside and used for the people of Flint and their long-term health needs, say in something like a protected trust, it just seems like the question has to be asked, what do they get out of this case? It was filed on their behalf, after all, and any money won would be because it was their public health that these private companies harmed. But if the money goes to pay off all or part of the costs that the state of Michigan incurred for also causing harm to their public health, what do people in Flint get for being harmed?
Well, I mean, I think you'd have to look at the system in general and how it works. And, of course, our office, you know, we sue entities all the time, right? Whether it's Wells Fargo or whether it's some other, you know, company that committed some kind of act that injured people in our state, you know, we sue those entities. And when we're successful, that money almost always goes back into the general fund. That's just the way things are done in terms of our lawsuits. There are other states that operate differently, but that's how all of our cases work here. So you could make that same argument, really, in regard to any case that is filed by this office.
If you've just joined us, we are speaking with Attorney General Dana Nessel about the civil case that's been filed on behalf of the people of Flint against the French water company Veolia and LAN, an engineering services firm that was based in Texas. Attorney Richard Kuhl, whom you appointed to take Noah Hall's place, is defending the state against these class action lawsuits. So in those suits, isn't he essentially on the same side as Veolia, also being sued by Flint residents? Is there any worry the state could agree to settle with Veolia for less money in the state suit in exchange for Veolia taking on more of the financial burden in the other lawsuits and thus reducing the state's liability, but again at the expense of getting more money for people in Flint?
I have no concerns about that. And again, okay, I'm going to be overseeing this lawsuit. So I am letting you know and the public know that we're going to be doing everything we can to get as much as we can in terms of a settlement or a judgment in this case to make certain that, you know, there's a proper amount reflected in terms of the damages that were sustained. And, you know, all I can say is I've obviously only been here for a couple months, but this is a commitment that I made to the residents of Flint and to the voters of this state. And, you know, I think to suggest that I am not going to handle these cases properly where there's really nothing to base that on, I would say is inappropriate, is improper. I'm working as hard as I can and as industriously as I can to ensure that these cases are being handled properly. And ultimately, you know, the voters will be able to hold me accountable for that in 2022 and see if I have, you know, if I ultimately have kept my promises and honored my commitment that I made to the residents of this state. And I can tell you right now, I plan to make certain that that case is pursued vigorously and as aggressively as possible.
Will there be any money, and are there conversations about this, from these civil suits set aside for future use by the people of Flint when you think of the medical care and other services looking down the road 10, 15, 20 years?
Well, ultimately, obviously, we're going to have to see what any such settlement, you know, encompasses. I would think so. I would think there'd be something that'd be structured and that would take place over the course of years. And that would involve a number of different types of ways that the money is being spent. That would be my hope, you know. Now, again, I don't have complete control over any of this. And much of this will have to be decided by the governor. And quite frankly, in terms of appropriating the money, it'll be in the legislature's hands to make some of those decisions. But as for me and as for my role in this, I, again, want to make certain that the residents of Flint are properly indemnified for the harm that they've suffered. And that is my goal.
And that was Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel speaking about the Flint lawsuit.